Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 448, Serenity, but not the nerd kind. The Matthew McConaughey kind.
I was so mad when I showed up, and I'm like, where is Nathan Fillion? Where's Alan Tudyk?
Where's Adam Baldwin?
Where's Marina Baccarin? Like, where are
is
all
she
these?
On that show?
Yeah.
Oh, all
right. Yeah.
I've never watched that show.
Oh, yeah? It was a good show.
No.
Yeah.
I've never seen it either.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those Fox, RIP Fox shows.
Yeah.
You know?
I just know it had Ron Glass on it.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh.
From Barney Miller.
I didn't know that.
First name Ron, last name Glass.
We did that episode already.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his real name.
Ron, it's Ron Glass. Ron.
I guess before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. And our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. And, of course, our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where you can kick in like $5 a month and it helps us out a little bit and you get some bonus content and we like you extra.
That's
yeah,
true.
This week we are taking on The Death of Superman and The Reign of the Supermen. So Those are based off the 90s comics, the famous arc that they keep going back to. You saw it in
constantly
BVS. You saw it in Superman Doomsday, like one of the original.
Are those worth money?
Because
they made so many of them. I feel like they couldn't be worth.
I think if you have the black poly bag unopened.
Right.
That could, I mean, it's not worth a lot of money, but it's...
But what about... I meant the following. I know that the Death of Superman one is like, meh. But like, what about the following storyline that they keep going back to?
No. Not really.
You can still get those pretty cheap.
Yeah. I saw one at the thrift store for $1 where he's in the black and the long hair. And I almost picked that up, but I'm like...
The die cut variant covers,
right,
where it's like, where they introduce the four Supermen.
Right, right.
Those... $5, $6 maybe.
Mm. Nothing
too nothing good, crazy.
So they're a little mermaid clamshell.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Like if you can get one for a few cents, okay, pick
no,
it up,
not
make
a bad,
$5
sure,
on it.
Why
but
not?
You don't go out of your way to
No, but if you can find a polybagged, sealed, like unopened Superman 72, I think, that has like so inside the bag you had a copy of the Daily Planet. Of the day the Superman died.
Oh, that's
cool. They had a black armband that had the S on, like a red S that you
could
put
on. That.
Oh, wow.
And then they had the comic itself.
Well, that's a neat little kit.
It was, yeah. So, like, they had that, and then there was a white poly bag when he came back.
When he came back, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But I opened my... I can't remember if I have
three copies of it.
If I got an unopened one or not. I remember at the time when it came out, I was just like, this is dumb.
Not dumb.
I was just like, this is like, he's not dead. They're not keeping him away. Like
they kept him away for nine months.
They kept him away for quite a bit of time. Yeah. But I was just like, this is not like, people were, I was working at a comic book store and people were coming in like, they honest to Christ thought Superman was never coming back. And
it's the 90s and you could get away with something like
and
that.
And like, it was.
Remember when Captain America joined Hydra?
Yeah.
Recently.
But yeah, like they just thought like.
Yeah.
the world.
And I mean, it was annoying because you had people coming in that it hadn't bought a comic book in years, which is normally nice to see, but they were just coming in to buy that issue because, boy, they thought
they had something,
that they had something, that it was going to be worth $1 million. Their kid was going to go to college. And I'm like, yeah, you're the one who's figured it out based on the news program you saw. That's your little secret.
Yeah, nobody else figured that out. Yeah. It was a hot issue for a long time.
It was. For a while, it was like $50-$60.
Yeah, to get it sealed.
Would you see him with that mullet and the black suit? That's
good. Well, that was later.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, that's that. I think it was 72. But yeah, that...
Well, there you go. That was a good one. This has been Comics Corner with Joe. So that will do it for this episode.
Thanks for tuning in. So, anyway, Serenity.
Whoa. Ooh, doggy.
Wow.
I mentioned last episode that I had heard or seen nothing about this going into
it. I saw it when we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
It was when the first time that
we
I saw something.
We should probably
about it.
Preface. I know that spoilers is in our name, but sometimes it's more important than others.
Yeah.
This movie, it definitely has a huge, major twist that we will be spoiling. Yes. So if that matters to you, and let me be clear, it shouldn't, because this is a big steaming turd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
you know in Venom when they talk about that turd blowing in the
this
wind?
This is it.
This is the turd they were talking about.
So it blew off that set right onto this one?
Yes.
Because, yeah, it's like this is a spoiler-heavy and dependent film, but I do not recommend you spend money. Like,
no.
This is why we exist.
Right.
You see this movie so you don't have to.
Right.
You know? For me to buy this $11 ticket to go see this movie.
I paid six.
Yeah, I paid $11.
I'm an A-list member.
Ooh, excuse me.
I had a very limited time frame and before my son got off the bus, and so I had to go see this movie and put it in, and so I had to go to, like, you know, the 5-star lounge with the recliner seats. Very nice theater. You know, 11 a.m. or whatever is $11. So, you know, yikes. But yeah, I was not happy.
I gotta tell you, my theater was packed.
Was it?
Yes.
Mine was full, too, and there's a limited seating because all the recliners and stuff.
Right.
Were you the youngest person in your theater?
No. I think that, I mean, there was definitely a dude who was probably my age.
Okay.
Who was there with his gal.
He had a podcast.
He also had a podcast. Hey, do you do a podcast? I do a podcast. Yeah.
Why are you here?
That was a knife fight.
Yeah, right.
For whose podcast was better.
We were the 66 Spider-Man, like, just pointing at each other. But yes,
mine was completely full of the early bird special.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, and the only great thing about being in this packed theater, you know, because I mean, there's plenty of room with the nice seats or whatever.
You didn't feel bad snoring because you could hear everybody else snoring.
No, but I looked around because I'm like, I can't wait to see the reaction from these MFers.
There was the dude,
what they thought of this movie.
The couple that was sitting next to me, who were probably, I would say, in their 40s. We're just like, oh, that was really good. God. And I'm just like, oh, I gotta get out of here.
I did not get that reaction.
I'm happy to share. Like, the gal, like, she thought that this was like...
It blew her mind.
It blew her mind.
Well, she's like, we have to get rid of our PlayStation.
So, like, the thing with this movie...
Junior's gonna kill us.
I'm watching this movie, and I know that you've got, like, all the seniors in the theater, and I'm just thinking, like... They think they're in for a dirty little thriller,
like a, yeah, whatever. Like a sexy... 90s era thriller kind of thing.
But when this turns into a sci-fi movie, I'm like, they're not going to understand any of this. Like,
but here's the secret selling point is neither did the guy who wrote it.
Right. No, none of us understood it, but they're like, so I sat outside the theater just to hear some of the reactions as they walked by. What a waste of 2 hours that was. And
just, when you start getting audio from these people.
Yeah, I've thought about that before. Where, like, I walk out of a thing, I was like, hey, why don't you tell me what you thought about that and record it?
Yeah, I just wanted to listen to hear what they said. And, like, they were not happy because it's like this movie, and again, I didn't watch the trailer, so I don't know how it was marketed, but I'm guessing they did not think they were getting The Sims.
It wasn't marketed.
I don't think, I was like, was it
marketed? There had to be a trailer. It would be interesting, and I just didn't even. I saw this movie. I paid to see this movie. I wasn't going back to do any more viewing of this movie. But they were very misled, clearly, because they were. I mean, from the reactions of the people, they were just like, "What?" And I heard them talking during the movie. You know, people were like, "What?" And then someone's like, "He's in a computer." You know, like, I'm just, like, you know, it's just a like. I'm like, because
Jerry, he's in a computer.
Some little old lady.
It's like Tron.
Yeah.
Remember when we saw that movie Tron? It's like that.
This movie is bonkers. And so I didn't know what to expect. But right from the beginning with the score of this movie, from the moment this movie opens and they go out in the water and there's this like dramatic score.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, what the?
I liked the opening shot. Like, I liked, like, you know, the shot from underneath the water and coming up and then... So, yeah, so this movie opens up on a boat with two drunk dudes passed out on the
Serenity?
On the Serenity.
That they never really mention or...
Until you see the side of the boat. Or, it's like, oh, that's what
they really never bring it up or has no relevance?
Right.
Okay.
And then McConaughey, you know, is, like, the boat captain and I guess he's found...
He's hired to take people out on the water
and
to
go fishing.
Fishing.
Right. And then... So these dudes are, you know, they hook a fish and it's the one. Yeah. Like it's his Moby Dick.
So yeah, right. Well, so I'm like, this is Moby Dick? Cuz again, I didn't know what to expect from this movie. I'm like,
yeah.
So this movie is about a guy trying to catch a fish that
catch
ate
a giant,
his son.
Catch a giant tuna.
I mean, did you guys think I thought that his son died and the fish ate him and so he
That's
had to,
what I thought
he
it was going
to
gonna be
it.
Too.
Oh,
yeah.
I did not think that at all.
Well, cuz you see him in the water and the son is like drowning in the water.
Oh.
In one scene, so I'm like, "Oh, he's fixed on revenge." So I'm like, "This is Moby Dick." Like
okay.
He's Captain
okay.
Ahab, the tuna, the huge tuna.
Huge tuna.
So he takes over and like these
and the
guys
get all pissed off cuz
they paid
won't.
You $700.
Yeah, and I was like, $700. That's a hell of a deal. Like that's if I'm a captain, be like, yeah, I'll take $700 and put you out to sea and let you get blasted and pass out on the front and back into my boat. Yeah. So then, of course, you know, it's a big fight and he's fighting with this fish. What I guess for hours.
I don't know.
I mean, it sure seemed like for a long time.
It yeah. did
because it cuts.
He's all
he's
sweaty
like drenched
and
in sweat.
I will say, Matthew McConaughey spends a lot of his time in a wet T-shirt.
Yes.
A white, wet
this
T-shirt.
Is,
this one's for the ladies.
This one is
clearly
for the
ladies and some of the men.
That's also true.
This movie is basically a wet T-shirt contest.
Did they edit out his dick?
What?
When he swam
in? Oh. Yes.
I thought it was just creative angles.
I don't know. Okay.
I just, I don't know that in today's age you would spend that much time. You would just CG out his junk.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, because there
I mean, you could have used creative angles, but it
just
seems
like his chest, like when he was swimming down, his
that,
chest was like.
I feel like this
right.
movie
front.
Isn't that creative,
but there were times when I felt like, I mean, I'm not complaining, but I felt like there were times I should have been seeing his.
That's
well,
what
from,
I said.
Well, from behind when his legs are, you're like, it should yeah. be hanging there.
I mean, I think I know how yeah. male genitalia
yeah.
works,
I
and
know how at least one male genitalia works. Yeah,
it doesn't just disappear,
right?
You know,
so well, maybe. It depends on.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's how cold it is.
How cold it is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they
who
probably
I'm looking at
once they had this movie finished, they're probably like, okay, we need to film some Matthew McConaughey yeah. nude scenes like and add these in your
there's a lot of McConaughey butt
markets,
in this
market
movie.
Something in this movie.
Yeah. Right. So
he loses. It gets away.
It gets away. The guy.
Like, this guy needs a harpoon gun.
Yeah, look at the size.
Are we still talking about his junk?
No, we're back to the tuna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, whatever.
We're like, but this thing
his
is
his junk
huge.
Will end up smelling like tuna.
Oh, jeez.
So what happens when Dan isn't here?
Yeah. It's Diane Lane. You gotta figure it's
not just her.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. So the tuna gets away. The dudes are all pissed off and they take him back on the boat and his shipmate, the guy whose name I can't pronounce.
Digimon Hinsu.
Thank you.
Is that Mr. Echo?
No.
What was he?
He was in,
what is he in?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's in everything. Blood Diamond with Leonardo DiCaprio was a big one. That
Amistad?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But he's
he's got like an African accent.
Yeah, no, totally.
And Never yeah. Back Down.
A good movie.
You know the guy.
Yeah.
Yo, no, I know. Like,
he's gonna be the wizard in Shazam.
Okay.
Yeah. It was supposed to be the guy from The Wire, and This Is Us.
Oh, he was supposed to play that role.
Uh huh. And then he had to go back and do reshoots for something, and he couldn't.
He was supposed to be Sterling K. Brown's character in This Is Us.
No, the older dude.
Oh, the dad. Sterling K. Brown's biological father.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the wizard.
Because I was like, but what?
No.
Okay.
So he goes back, and of course, they're out the money, and his first mate's all pissed off, and I guess.
Rightfully so.
Sure. Yeah, totally. And then we find out that, like, he's got a granddaughter in college and needs the money. Matthew McConaughey kind of. It's just, like, the opening of this movie, And I was like, okay, if we're going to establish him as kind of like the drunk captain who's obsessed with this fish, who's constantly screwing up. Okay. I can deal with that. Like,
right.
And we're in this small like village town, and he's,
but
kind
he's
of,
not drunk while he's doing the stuff. He's like,
I kind of thought
he's
that
sad
he was.
And gets drunk afterwards at the okay. bar, but he's right. not. But this isn't painted as like he's a screw up because he's drunk.
Yeah,
out there on the,
yeah. I don't
not,
think because he even says like no hard liquor on the boat.
Right,
like
right,
that's
right,
a big
right.
rule yeah. for him. Like that's so. I don't think he's drunk when he's at sea.
No.
Okay. So either way, he's a schlub basically.
Yes.
Goes back to the town.
Watching this movie until the turn.
Right.
I was like, this could be a Humphrey Bogart movie.
I could see that. Yeah, that makes
like
sense.
It, you know, like just this kind of like loner guy with a dark past.
Right.
And then the femme fatale shows up. And
I mean, that's God. What they were trying to do.
Yeah. That scene when yeah. she shows up. But it's like, I get it now and it's horrible. But like, okay, the scene when he gets naked,
he's hooking up with Diane Lane.
Basically, she's paying him to have sex with her.
Right. And I like
that. He needs
the
money.
But, like, that's not a thing. Yeah, first off, Diane Lane's not going to have any problems.
No,
getting some.
No, I didn't
absolutely
take it. That's
not
really what she's doing. It's I mean, they're having sex and he's needs the money and they have this relationship where I think she's giving him money, but she's joking like, oh, you're basically
like,
a prostitute.
But it seems like
really...
he only ever shows up when he needs money.
Well,
is
no,
because
she says when the fish aren't biting, you come around. And when my cat needs finding, you come around. So like he's coming around no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, so when the fish aren't biting,
well,
he comes,
but when the fish aren't biting, he would need money.
But he comes right. back. When like he's like, oh, I found your cat. I guess we need to have sex now.
I think they have a mutually beneficial relationship, but it's just that she pays him because he needs the money.
When like, he needs the money, yeah. she will give him the money.
Yeah, I took
otherwise,
it as just kind of a joke.
He
I mean,
just finds her cat.
Yeah,
and, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. It's but it is like, so at this point, I was like, okay, we're gonna get like a.
Was there a meaning I missed behind the cat thing? Like, did that have any kind of spoilerific? Because I'm just like...
Well, I think they use it as a thing later when we find the twist.
Okay. Yeah, when you get to the twist, they kind of, I won't say retcon it, but,
okay.
but it has an okay. explanation when you get to the twist.
I might have missed it, so you'll have to yeah. let me in on that. Because I'm like, they keep showing this cat. There has to be something.
But if it, so I'm like, okay, so they're like it's, you know, set in like this kind of humid...
Plymouth Island,
but it's got like this... You know, everybody's sweaty all the time.
Yeah, which is a fictitious island.
Right, not
it's
real.
It's not a real place.
Which is a thing.
Yeah.
We'll get to there.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, it's fictitious both...
right.
In real life and in the movie.
Right, correct. Yeah. So, I was like, okay, if we're going to get like a 90s like erotic thriller...
Right, totally.
Let's do it.
I was like, we haven't seen one of those in forever.
It's been a while.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Let's have fun.
And they go that way for a little bit.
For a good chunk of the movie.
And I was like, okay.
For about two-thirds of
yeah,
the movie,
I'm
that's
in.
What you're getting.
I'm fine.
It's not very good, but I haven't seen it in a while, so it
I'm
feels
cool with it. It's
fresh.
Like it's like striking distance.
Yeah.
You know?
And this movie's just so bad, though. Like,
but I'm cool with it being bad if they're just like kind of going for that 90s thriller
but it's a
vibe.
Different kind of bad. Like
it's not bad in a good way. It's bad in a bad
yeah,
way.
Like,
I don't
know. I guess I was in. I didn't mind
I guess
it.
Because I like so much of the movie. I was like, but that's not how the world works.
right.
Like she, like Diane Lane's not paying Matthew McConaughey.
Right. Right.
And
right.
like she's not going to have any problems getting laid. Diane Lane is gorgeous.
She is absolutely gorgeous.
And, you know, so it's like I'm like,
it's a weird time when Ma Kent and Aunt May are both hot.
Yeah.
You know.
And so I was just like. Like, this isn't how the world operates. And so
they're not smart enough to cover things up for a reveal because you're like, this is just dumb.
Which is kind of like, I feel like I got close to figuring out the twist.
Sure.
And I dismissed it just because it was so stupid.
Right.
I was like, well, there's no way that's what's going on here. This, you know,
that's too insane.
Right. Like, that's just
right.
dumb. Nobody would make a movie with these caliber of actors and have that.
What
be
did
what's
Anne Hathaway
going...
win an Oscar for?
Les Mis, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. She dreamed a dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
That's
yeah.
the song.
That's
oh.
That's
really
pretty
good.
Much the scene that got
yeah.
her.
Got it.
That's what. Yeah.
Okay.
Because she sang it on set. Like she's not lip syncing it, and yeah, she's singing it in real time.
And I mean, it's
a great scene. I didn't really care for the film, but I don't care for the play.
Oh,
like I don't. Get,
I love the play, and I really like
the spectacle. But those songs are awful.
Those
songs all sound like they're making them up on the spot. Every one of them is like then they don't even rhyme. It's like I'm in France and it's really war-y and they're mean to us.
It is translated from French.
They have nice
bread in the neighborhood.
It's translated from French, so I mean, they keep that in mind that it's not like they invented it in English, and so there probably is a little bit of a translation.
No, they should have did another pass. Like it was
put it through Rosetta Stone.
I mean, you can't argue with success, but it's a snooze.
Oh, I
love
it.
Except when the guy kills himself, that's cool. How they do that on stage, like that's cool. Like it's a good spectacle. Yeah. Like it's cool to see because everything they do, it's just everything you have to sit through to get to there.
Sure.
Oh, Linnea Thunzel, back me up here, theater nerd. Yeah. Linnea Thunzel.
I just to be clear, I love theater and musicals and plays. I go all the time. Like I'm not an anti. Like some people, they just don't like theater. They can't remove themselves enough to be like, why are they singing? I don't know. Why is he wearing a cape? Go F yourself. Like,
Joe?
Hey, no, I understand why they're singing. I just don't like it.
Yeah. It's just when people are like, I can't get past that. So
no,
anyway, Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's, you know. But
the billionaire with the suit of armor.
Yeah. I just, you know. But I love plays, just to be clear.
No, fair enough.
Going to New York in May, I got front row tickets for Be More Chill.
All right, nice. There you go.
All right.
So anyway. He's you know doing his thing with Diane Lane and he goes for a swim. You get the nude Matthew McConaughey stuff, but the first clue that you get where something is really really off and weird, like that goes to the spoiler, is this camera work. There's something really strange going on here, and I get it now that I get this spoiler, because at first I mean I wanted to just laugh out loud, but I was in this packed theater and I don't want to insult these people around me, but like, so he's running out to jump off this cliff and the camera does this and goes to one side of him and then it goes whoosh to the other side.
But it only does it like once. I don't remember ever doing that again.
Anne Hathaway laugh out loud moment when she shows up in the bar is just ridiculous the way it goes around her. But I'm like, this movie is terrible, like terribly made. Like this is just awful. So now I get they thought they were being clever.
Right.
Because that is changing your point of view on a computer.
Right.
He's POVing around a character and the computer, and they thought that was just brilliant. But
I think that's what they're thinking too, with like why like the sex scenes are kind of dumb, and like it's because I mean, just give it away, it's what a 14-year-old would think sex is like,
right?
And like that's when I'm watching the movie, and I think that's what led me to like kind of sort of figure it out. Is I was like. Like this is like it's being written by a 14-year-old. Like this
and
is like
it was.
This is like what a kid thinks being a grown up is like.
Right.
So the reveal is this kid is basically playing The Sims with his dad.
Right.
So Matthew McConaughey,
Ghost Dad.
Well, yeah, but Matthew McConaughey is a.
Did he make a movie called Ghost Dad? No, that was Bill Cosby.
You're thinking of Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
There we go.
That is
So Matthew McConaughey has been programmed into a Sims type simulation, and his dad died over in Iraq, and now he's. Left with his mom and the crappy boyfriend or stepdad that's abusive and everything, and so his only way to escape is into this world.
This is what I thought the twist was. So from the beginning of the movie, we're introduced to this guy in a suit and tie with glasses.
Yeah, that was so weird.
And I was
too.
Like, well, he's death. Like he keeps trying to catch up to Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey keeps slipping past him. And I was like, okay, so we're doing a Meet Joe Black thing, where like McConaughey is on his last leg. You know, his time is up. This guy is trying to collect his debt.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can deal with...
See, you read way more into this.
It's just like, because I'm just trying to... you know, you see enough movies and you're just like, who the flip... you're welcome. Is this guy.
No,
like,
you're right. We didn't mention it, but in the very beginning of the movie, you get this lawyer-looking guy with what looks like a briefcase.
And he's very,
and he's just, like, trying to chase down McConaughey.
The entire movie, he's trying to chase him down.
So in the very beginning, he has to, like, go over some water, and so, like, he takes his socks and shoes off and then rolls his pants up and walks to the water holding his shoes and briefcase in his hand.
Right.
And you're like, who the hell is this guy? And
I thought he was death.
Well, and he keeps talking, too, about how he's like, oh, I just missed it by 20 seconds.
Exactly.
But my what does he say? He's like, my planning is off or my programming is something like that. He somehow knows the exact second he's supposed to leave.
Right. And he keeps getting, and he says it keeps getting further and further from schedule. He's like, my time is, when he eventually meets up with him, he's like, I keep missing you by more and more every time or whatever. So anyway, so you're like, who the hell is this guy? It's just so weird.
So we should, so he's down on his, McConaughey's down on his luck.
Yeah.
He is taken up, instead of taking dudes out on his boat during the day, he goes out night fishing and is catching swordfish, and he's making decent money. So he's going out to his boat and he's dealing with some stuff on his boat, and here comes Anne Hathaway.
No, they're at the bar. So he, after the nude scene where he jumps in the water.
No, that hasn't happened yet, because that happens when he, Diane, she, Anne Hathaway already shows up.
Oh, okay.
So like Diane Lane is up at his house.
Okay.
And she, he gets naked and he walks. Yeah. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going for, I'm going to take a shower, and jumps in the water. So the Anne Hathaway scene has already happened.
Oh, okay.
So he's in the bar. He's buying the old drunk a drink. And
what's that? I may have just missed.
I feel like,
but what,
so
in
like,
this world now with the reveal, what is the old man?
I don't know.
In his spot.
So like in my personal life, when I used to drink at the bar we used to frequent, you kind of, there was an old dude that was always there, and kind of the rule, the unspoken rule, not just his booth, but just like you buy him a beer.
Okay.
And you just send it over, and that just kind of, it was like a neighborhood bar, and it was like the neighborhood
drunk.
I get it.
What I'm asking is why in this version, like, so the only thing that I can think of is this is a simulation and he's programmed to be there. So you can't interfere with programming. It's like if he's,
I wonder if he's like a mission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those things, you're just like, go talk to that guy, and you're going to do a side mission.
Yeah. Right. I think they thought they were so clever with this, but really, it's like they never mention it again once you find the twist.
Right. There's no...
Well, they do, because McConaughey sits in his seat.
Well, yeah, yeah. But I just mean, it's like, it's just so weird that it's there, and I guess they're just trying to hint at, like, again, the kid programmed an old fisherman to be in this booth.
Right.
And it's like, he should always be there because he's programmed
to
right?
be there. Yeah, yeah, right. So yeah, so he's in the bar and he's getting drunk, and then here comes Anne Hathaway.
And this is another laugh out loud moment. They ramp up the music, and like, I swear there's like sparkles on the screen, and she like, and the
her
camera,
her ring sparkles.
Yeah, yeah, and it goes, yeah. And it is so weird. And so it the camera goes 180 from the back of her head to around to the front with the sparkle ring and stuff, and I am just like, again, I wanted to laugh out loud
when
so
it,
badly
when the ring sparkles. I was literally like, that was an
I'm
odd
like,
choice.
I'm like, what kind of movie is this? I just, I was so confused and still am, honestly. But I'm like, what are we doing here? And she's like, hello, stranger. Like, I mean, this is a total, like, you know, Casablanca type.
It very much was. And he's just like, what are you doing here?
This kid's never seen Casablanca. He can't program that.
No, that's, yeah. Oh, he has no way. No, he's guessing at this point. So they kind of have an interaction where it's obvious they have a past. The sparkling water thing I thought was odd, because then he comes, he's like, we got this, and she's like, that's fine, and gives him $100. So then they go to his boat and they have this discussion, and Diane Lane kind of sees him from the window, and I was like, okay, like, now we're getting into like Single White Female or Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Fine with that too.
Yeah, but
like,
no, but Diane Lane has nothing to, there's no payoff.
There is no reason for her to
be
in this movie.
She is just there. That's the thing that's so frustrating, is you have Diane Lane, and all she does is, you know, has sex with him and gives him money in one scene, and then looks at him in another, but like, there's no point.
No, she gives you a little bit of exposition about like who he is, like in this community, but that's it. There's nothing else.
Yeah. Just nothing to
just
do.
Just nothing else to do in this movie. So we find out that
Jason Clark.
Thank you. Jason Clark is
the stepdad.
The
now.
Stepdad to this kid that we've seen in flashes.
Okay.
We
is
find
that
out
Patrick is his name.
Patrick is his name. Yeah. That, you know, Anne Hathaway and Matthew McConaughey had a past. McConaughey goes away to war. He comes back. When he comes back, Anne Hathaway has left him for Jason Clark and taken his son away.
Yeah.
Which
we get the storyline now. So what really happened, since we've already spoiled it, is Matthew McConaughey goes away to war and dies
and doesn't come back.
And so then eventually she gets with Jason Clark, but like, he's like, yeah, when I came back, she was with him. And it's like, he didn't ever really come back. So in the kid's mind, he's like,
kid is making stuff
while
up.
I was gone, she was with him.
Right.
But he,
and apparently, you know, in this, in the computer world, he's very abusive, and he's found different ways to, be abusive, and he's abusive to the kid.
What do you mean in the computer world?
Well, in this world that we don't know that this is not the real world yet. So like she's saying that like he's become he's become creative about how
but it's mirroring in the real world though. It's the same both ways. Like, so the whole point of this is the kids made this simulation to escape his troubled real life situation,
right?
And so the characters of the mom and Jason Clark are the exact same characters, just put into the game.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I don't think that he's a mobster and she.
No, he's like
a construction worker
yeah,
or something.
We find out at the very end,
right?
But
so she kind of says, "Well, I'll give you." He's coming here in 2 days. We'll give you $10,000 to
$10 million.
No, it's $10,000 first.
Oh, okay.
It's $10,000 to take the boat out.
Right. And then she's like, if this gets done, I'll give you $10 million.
Yeah. I will give him credit just because it's the simulation and the kids thing, because that's another one of those things where I wanted to laugh out loud again at $10 million
yeah.
when she says that. Because I'm thinking like, okay, like this guy, if he was gonna do it, would take $100,000. Like when she goes, I'll give you $10 million
yeah, $10 million in cash, because he also says cash.
Yeah, right. Yeah. $10 million in cash.
Do you know how much cash that is?
It's like two bundles.
It's
and how no, did she manage?
It's a lot.
And right. how did she manage to get $10 million in cash?
Well, right. I think he's
like
got. Wave,
I know, oh. but how
to
like,
this
it's,
to
it's
this desolate island?
It's a lot of money. Yeah,
yeah.
So okay, it makes a little more sense that it's a ridiculous video game character. But you know, the other thing is too, as being a gamer, you know, I love video games. They tell great stories. Last episode, I mentioned Bioshock Infinite, which is one of my favorite games of all time. It's the third in the Bioshock series. It's the last one they made, but tells this incredible story with it as its own twist in it. Fantastic. Like, I think they were talking about making a movie about it, you know, like they're trying
yeah.
to legit, like they're doing Uncharted with Tom Holland, like they're trying to make some legit movies. And at one point they talked about making that into its own film. But like, this story is so good and the voice acting so good, there's emotional beats. Video games tell tremendous stories. Like, it's incredible what they can do. So you kind of undermine it when you make a movie like this and you're like, oh, but it's all set in a video game, so it's complete crap, you know? Because it's like, no, that like video games are amazing.
Video games today are better than some movies.
Better than a lot of movies.
I just finished Spider-Man for the PS4, and it's like it's
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Look at Red Dead Redemption 2 and look at that game and the story and the voice acting and everything, and look at some like crappier attempts at Western movies or at whatever movie the genre is. And it's like they're telling these stories and the acting is so good. They do motion capture for a lot of it, like with the movies that do the motion capture. Most all performances in these AAA games are motion captured. So you get the very realistic. You have real actors doing facial emotions.
LA Noir, baby.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing is they've come such a long way. And so with this movie, I guess the only saving grace in that regard is like, okay, it's a kid trying to put this together, but it's like,
but they tell you that this kid is like a savant, so I'm like, you should be making a better game. Like, if you're that smart,
I mean, I think he's smart for a 14-year-old kid that's doing this stuff.
No, they say that like he at the end of the movie they say that he is like a mathematical genius, and he, you know, he's has this moment of where he, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So McConaughey kind of says, go screw, like, you, I'm not doing it. I'm not blah, blah, blah. I don't like you. I don't love you. You know, people never change, and kicks her off the boat. And she, of course, is just like, don't do it for me. Do it for your kid. And I'm at that point, I feel like he's like, F my kid. You know, like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not helping you. I'm not helping anybody. So this is the scene where Diane Lane kind of shows up at his house, which is just a shipping container.
Yeah, he lives in a shipping
which
container.
Which I was like, all right,
yeah,
fine.
And some people do live in shipping containers.
No,
somewhere.
But it's just like Bruce Willis lived on a boat. Have you ever seen Striking Distance?
No.
It's bonkers.
Okay.
But it's,
you also see his junk. No, it's Color
it's
of Night.
Color of Night.
Where you see Bruce Willis' junk.
You see his... You might see his junk. His rear in...
Oh, in Striking Distance.
You guys have way too much of a memory.
It was a big deal when Color of Night came out because you saw his junk.
Right.
Like, it was a news story. It was a whole deal.
Yeah, it's also... Like, that's a genre of film that is, like, deep fried taco laden.
Yeah.
Like, it is left and right. You can't... There's no good... There's no, like, natural tacos. There's no healthy tacos in that. It's all deep fried. There's no good 90s erotic thrillers. They're all garbage.
But you know, that's the thing, though. I'm down for a dirty little erotic thriller, whatever. But it's like when you try to do this next level genius, you know, I'm blowing your mind type of thing. It has to be good.
The Boy Next Door was in that vein.
Yeah,
that was that Jennifer Lopez.
But I feel like you just don't get very, you just don't get sex scenes in movies very much
it's
anymore.
It's very rare.
And I just think I think it's difficult world to navigate these days. I was surprised, like, the sex scenes in this movie.
They don't leave much to the imagination.
I mean, you don't really get nudity except for his butt. Yeah. But they're on top of one another.
They're going at it.
It really was just, it's just a weird movie. This is a very,
I feel like the last time, I feel like I just, what did I just watch where it was like, this is uncomfortable to watch. What was the one with Maria Bello and the guy from Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
There's a lot of guys.
No, the main guy, the guy who's the king.
Aragorn?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was based on a comic book.
History of Violence.
Oh, I love History of Violence.
But those sex scenes are super awkward.
I mean, they're
uncomfortable to watch.
Different time.
It was.
You know, to show you how a different time is, you know what a History of Violence is claim to fame is?
Wow.
No. It's the last movie released on VHS.
Oh, there, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Man, it was that time. Old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just watched that with Katie the other day. She had never seen it. I love that movie. I think it's such a good movie.
Read the comic.
Yeah. Eastern Promises and A History of Violence. Like, Viggo Mortensen has made some great movies.
Eastern Promises is solid. I think the problem is that comic is really good.
Yeah.
So I recommend the comic as well. Because, like, the ending is completely different. Gotcha. Like, it's a whole different thing.
But, I love it. If you have not seen A History of Violence, it is awesome. It's so cool. It's about a little small town coffee. I mean, it's very similar to this movie, if you think about it.
A guy is
in a small town, and he doesn't really know his past. We don't know much about him, and he reveals that there's a lot more going on.
Well, that scene in the coffee shop when the guys come in to rob it, and then he goes into full Batman mode, and you're just like, well, you've got skills.
Yeah.
And they're multiple.
That's awesome. So go watch that movie. Yeah, I think that's 2004.
I was at Blockbuster, so...
Sorry, I thought...
No, I think it's earlier than 2004 because I started at Blockbuster in 2000.
2005.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Man, I was there for a long time.
Yeah.
So his first mate shows back up. Okay, so we get the scene where he jumps in the water and...
So he fires his first mate in this really crappy way because he's like, you're bringing me bad luck ever since your wife died.
Yeah, I was like,
I've had bad luck. So I'm like, ooh. But I guess this is the kid taking out his emotions...
But that's the thing, is like, there are, he does things in this world that like wouldn't make sense in the game,
right? And they're really crappy things. When he said that, I'm like, you're a trash person, like,
right?
I don't care. And you're like not even drunk when you're saying, like, there's no excuse.
He's hero worshiping his dead father, but also making him be a scumbag.
Yeah, so I'm guessing, but that's a 14-year-old kid who's lost a parent. He's now saying, oh, well, you've been bad luck since your wife died. And so he's had a bad life since his dad died.
Maybe.
I think that's him. It's that really deep, like, oh, because otherwise it makes no sense to have the character do these bad things. But so he dismisses Digimon Hinsu because of that, you know, and crap and... So
he wakes up in the next morning at 5 a.m., which becomes a thing. And
doesn't he have some nightmares?
I think he's picturing him in the sun on a deck.
Well, because remember, there was that weird connection thing earlier. Remember, he sits down at the bar,
and he's like,
and
playing
there's water,
with the water
on the table, and then you see, like, at the same time, the kid has his hand is wet or something, and there's this connection. And so, again, that's another part where it's like,
it was in that moment where I'm just like,
what?
Oh, man.
What is the connection?
We're getting some stupid art house high concept bullshit.
Well,
sorry.
They thought they were. But that's the thing, is it? So this whole time I'm thinking, okay, I'm trying to figure out what is the twist, what is happening, because this movie is crazy. So I'm like, okay, the kid's dead and these take place in two different time periods. And so you're supposed to think like, oh, do it for this kid. And like he's alive, but really he's dead. Like, I'm like, what is happening?
Well, there was a moment where I was like, oh, is Matthew McConaughey the kid?
Yeah, because they make him have kind of the same hairdo, and they're both in water, and I thought he was watching himself drowning. Yeah, there were a lot of these, this imagery that made you think, like, there's some connection. But the water thing, what does that even mean? So now that we know this is a computer simulation...
Well, I think,
that's the kid in real life with his hand wet, and so now he's programming.
It was silly.
It's very silly.
So,
and you're also, so now if you really step back though for a second, think of this concept as being like The Sims. So you're saying that he has created characters with complete consciousness.
Right. That's
how he created
one, because everybody else is part of the game. Like, so Matthew McConaughey once Matthew McConaughey becomes sentient, I guess, like once he figures out what's going, once he becomes Neo and he figures out what's going on, everybody else there, I will say they do make you question it at one point when he's talking to the bartender. And the bartender, like when Matthew McConaughey,
well, everyone says the same thing.
Well, so he's also just like, look, people are like worried about you. Like you were out there on the thing talking to yourself, and you were sitting outside. I was like,
how do you know that?
Well, I'm just he is crazy.
Because I did start to notice that like people knew a lot more than they should know,
right?
But then they try to
they
cover that
off
up
as
by
small town.
Like,
small town.
But everybody knows everything,
right?
But no, there's things you wouldn't know. And again, the bartender, he does repeat himself, and I think the store owner does too. Where it's the response is the same. And if you play games, those NPCs, they have set things they say, so that all makes sense. But stepping back again, so now we're to believe that he has completely captured his father's brain,
he wouldn't, like, that's the other thing, is like he doesn't know his dad. Like because he would have been,
I think he knows him.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he knew him. I mean, he knew
him as like a 6-year old.
Yeah, we see footage of him when he's 5 or 6.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. But so what I'm saying is like he wouldn't,
a 6-year old wouldn't know.
Like,
but how did he program a character that can interact with him like that? Like,
I think that's explained by the fact that this is a shitty movie.
Okay.
Yeah,
like, so that's when their brilliant reveal ends up being like, boy, so you've now created this artificial intelligence that, I mean, goes beyond, because now they can interact and he can have these emotions and memories and all this. And it's
the
like
the scene where he redesigns the town. I was like, well, we've gone full crazy. Yeah. Like, that is what has just happened.
So anyway, Digimon Hinsu comes back and says, hey, I've heard
he's like, the guys on the, like, Jason. So Jason Clark shows up early.
Yeah.
And
a day early.
And I like him as the scumbag. Like, he's playing, he's a good villain. I like the scene on the boat. That scene on the boat, that first scene between McConaughey and Jason Clark, like, I liked that scene.
Do you like his Boston accent?
I did not like his Boston
that,
accent. Is that what that
would
was?
Go in and out, or like, I don't know if it's New York, Boston, whatever.
Have you ever tried to program a Boston accent? It's not easy.
But like,
when you're 14, nonetheless,
right. I liked that like, I was like, okay.
No, it was a good douchebag versus dad. Like,
right.
I like the idea of it.
Right.
It's just
so Digimon kind of says, he's like, look, man, like, I got a granddaughter. I need that money. He's like, let's just take him out on the boat. We'll get 10 grand. You take 8. I'll take 2. And then we'll call it a day. And McConaughey's just kind of like, fine.
But he also, like, knows. Doesn't he know, too?
We don't know that he knows.
Yeah.
But, like, McConaughey says, he's like, you're there to stay close to me, watch me, and just, you're supposed to, like, push me away from trying to kill this guy.
Yeah.
So they get on the boat,
and this guy's like so over the top.
Yes.
He's like going on about, like, I hear in the town that there's
no law.
There's the girls are
10-year-olds and taking it in the butt for $10. And McConaughey, of course, is like, I'm gonna murder you.
Do you think the stepdad, like, cheats on the mom with some really, like, shady stuff? I just wonder if he, like,
he thinks, what's the worst thing I could say?
Like, this sounds like what a 14, what a kid would think is, I mean, this is bad stuff, but I mean, it's so over the top.
Right. He makes a big jump from being just like a scumbag to like a child rapist.
I mean, clearly there are people who do that.
Yes.
So, but what was over the top about it was how flagrant he was about it. Like,
or how big that jump is from.
Yeah. Like, he thinks these other two are going to be like, yeah, it's a good time. Can't recommend it enough. I gave it 5 stars on Yelp. It's a blast. Oh,
it's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like that's, like, someone who does do that.
Plymouth Island is known for it.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, sex tourism is one of our most profitable industries. Like, they don't sit around and boast about it.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah. Yes.
It makes more sense that you know that it's a kid programming how much of a scumbag this guy
is. And I think the reason the actors took the film is I think they thought that retroactively made the first part not being very good, like,
good
truthful,
right?
but you still have to sit through a not very good movie to get there.
Yeah, I agree.
And for a twist that's pretty dumb and pretty uninspired.
It's a very dumb twist.
To retroactively explain why what you're watching wasn't good. And so it's like, what? Yeah. You know, I sometimes talk about like, oh, it's like a snake eating its own tail. This is like a snake throwing up its own tail.
I didn't like the way that tail tastes.
Yeah. I'm just like, why would you think like, oh, it was bad on purpose? Sign me up.
I will say, I said previously, if they ever, you know, they've been talking about remakes of Jaws or Back to the Future, things like that. If they ever, God forbid, remake Jaws, McConaughey is your Quint.
Probably not while Spielberg's alive. I don't know that he'll.
I don't know, man.
Because he doesn't need the money. Like, I don't think he's going to.
Depends on how much money. You know what I'm saying? Like, George Lucas didn't need the money either until Disney was like, here's $4 billion. All right. You know?
But I think he just wanted to be out from under it.
That could be.
$4 billion is, I mean, we said at the time, and we've been proven right.
Yes.
That's a bargain.
Dropping the bucket.
A lot of money for that franchise.
No.
And he gave a good chunk of it away.
He kept the rights to the toys.
No, not anymore. You're talking about a long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he didn't. No, he does not own anything.
He owns nothing?
No. Yeah. He sold Lucasfilm.
Does he own THX still? That's the thing?
I don't know. But yeah, I guess he's got
the ranch.
Yeah.
So he's got some stuff. It's not like he just sold everything off. He sold off the rights to his
Lucasfilm. Yeah,
Do you think he owns the rights to, like, what was the...
They let him keep Radioland Murders.
No, what was the...
They were like,
the Ron
we'll
Howard
give you
American Graffiti.
Yeah.
We'll give you... They were like, we'll give you $3 billion.
I don't know that he ever had the rights to it. It was a studio film.
Yeah,
that was
a studio film.
Yeah, that's not his. Yeah.
Star Wars.
We'll give you $3 billion for everything, or $4 billion if you keep Radioland Murders.
All right, I'll keep
it. He had rights to Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
So Lucasfilm.
Okay.
But no, he is not involved except to be a consultant to Star Wars.
And by consultant, I mean, you just keep your fat ass at home.
Yeah.
We'll take care of this.
But I don't think he really bitted it out too terribly much that
probably
I could tell.
Not.
I think he wanted it to live at Disney because he knows Disney would be the best long-term shepherd of that franchise. If he wants that franchise to still be, you know,
it's his legacy.
Culturally relevant.
Absolutely.
100 years from now, Disney's your best shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
no, it was a good move.
He wanted to sell it to Fox, but, you know. I do think he'd make a great Quint.
Yeah. I could say that.
Yeah.
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 Because even, like, he's played more. Like, I know that Quint would be a bit older, but then I think of, like, Matthew McConaughey in A Time to Kill, right? And, like, he seemed like he was playing up a lot older even 20 years ago.
There's, like, a really young lawyer in that.
Yeah, but he just, I don't know, the look of him, like, I feel like he played up in his age then to where, like, I feel like now if he...
You put a little makeup on him.
You put
a little weight on him.
Yeah.
He could play.
He's one of those chameleons, kind of like Christian Bale, where he can transform. So.
Oh, man, that is...
Yeah, see, like, he could play Quint where Christian Bale would play the shark.
Yeah, and you would never know.
I gotta tell you, give me Christian Bale as Brody. That would be fun.
There you go.
Like, I would like to see them playing off each other. Yeah. As Quentin Brody.
And then make Bruce Campbell the mayor of the town.
Oh,
like he's the mayor of the town and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Sign me up for that.
Yep.
He has to wear the shark suit, though.
And then Richard Driver's character is like, what, Josh Gad?
I mean, unfortunately, that's where it would probably go. Like, I could see that.
Or maybe Bill Hader.
All right, but you got to make him smaller.
Yeah.
I feel like Bill Hader is a fairly tall dude, and Christian Bale is not a tall dude.
Yeah.
So you got to make him, like, stature-wise.
Okay.
You got to kind of, like...
Oh, they've got... They can stand on blocks or something. They'll figure it out.
I can see Bill Hader as yeah.
So anyway, so he's on...
Hoopa.
He's on the boat, and they've got the big one, right? So they
get on the boat. They catch a shark.
Oh, it's a shark, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, no, it's just a shark. I'm going to cut him loose. And, you know, Drunky McGee is like... No, you're not going to... I'm bringing home a shark. And it looks like he goes over. They cut to black.
Right.
And then Anne Hathaway is waiting on the dock, like, you know, like, oh, my God, did he do it? Because at this point, you know, McConaughey's like, I'm not doing this.
Right.
And she's like, please, do it for your son. And so she's waiting on the dock, and she sees three people come back in.
I do like where
shark.
He's waving. And this is the scene I did enjoy, where he waves, and she just puts her head down. She's like, God damn it.
The husband.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a shark.
And she's like, cool, great. So
that daddy thing.
Yeah, how she kept calling him daddy.
And I
guess again, this is what a 14-year-old thinks.
Well, I think maybe that's
what she calls him in real life.
I think that could that's also the creepo. I mean, yeah, I think that's the kid hearing this stuff too. But I mean, just it was just so hard to watch.
Okay, so here's what I will say about this.
Okay,
there is a place for that. That name. In the bedroom, wherever, like that's your thing.
But out and about.
But like in public, it's like, nope, not gross.
I mean,
I get it.
Everybody has a thing, and it squicks me out.
No, it was very uncomfortable.
Even when people want to do it in private, it just squicks me out.
Here's why. I
mean, it's their business,
that's
but why, it's still,
that's exactly it. If that's like, what you want to do, and you both enjoy it,
yeah,
mazel tov. If you do it while I'm at a restaurant with you, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Yeah.
That's an easy guarantee.
If you do it while I'm at a restaurant with you, I'm going to give you the kids menu.
Yeah, right.
If you're going to call him daddy, you're eating off the kids
menu.
You
get a hot dog.
Enjoy dinosaur-shaped chicken dinners, which is what I'm having. But,
those are delicious.
But neither here nor there, you will also get them.
Yes. With ketchup.
Ew.
That's how kids eat their chicken nuggets. Ranch.
Well,
no,
my
buffalo
kid,
sauce is where it's at,
that's
homeboy.
Good
but
yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. The other night, we had the same deal, chicken nuggets. Gwen dunks the chicken nugget in the ranch and just takes the ranch off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are you just to bite
ranch,
it?
It's a ranch delivery
like,
system.
Just bite the chicken nuggets. You eat these all the time. What are you doing?
I mean, I could say on like icing on cupcakes, like just eating the icing and leaving the cupcake. Like it's but just ranch.
People love it. The smell of ranch dressing
revolting
makes
oh, really?
Me want to gag.
Oh, I can't
like
do ranch. I know
so
Katie
gross.
Loves it, and so like if we're both sitting down watching a show or whatever on the couch, bed, whatever, and she brings in like carrots and ranch, and it just the whole room. Smells of ranch.
Doesn't bother me at all.
I'm like, please keep that over there as far away.
I'm like, could you maybe like fart? Just something to knock down that stench.
Yeah, totally.
That's pretty funny.
Okay, so they come back
and she's just like, I cannot. He comes off the boat. She's like, she gives him the money and she's like, what the? And he's like, I told you I wasn't going to do it. So this is where she kind of says.
But he's also like, see you tomorrow, and now we're catching tuna.
Well, Jason Clark's like, we're coming back tomorrow, we're catching that tuna, and he was just like, all right.
And he's like, pay the man, watch how his eyes pop out of his head or whatever.
Go screw. So we go back to I'm trying to think, so do we cut back, we get another existential crisis that I guess he's having.
We get a lot of weird. I don't know where they're placed throughout the movie, but we get a lot of weird like dreams.
Oh, this
are,
is
like,
where
flashing.
We get. This is where we get the guy. Not the weird guy shows up at Matthew McConaughey's
the lawyer looking guy, the salesman. That's the thing. So he leaves his card wherever he goes after McConaughey, and it says that he works for like a fishing supply company.
Right.
But in your head, you're just like, clearly this is not a normal thing. Like, what is this guy up to?
So he shows up at McConaughey's shipping container
with another bonkers scene. Yeah. Here is the Fish Finder 3000, and you see it, and so like they're in the middle of his house and the radar is like going off and shows you where a shark is,
right,
where a dolphin is or whatever, like, and again, this is a dumb simulation, so now it actually makes sense, but when you don't know that,
it doesn't make any sense,
right? So at least they can't explain it that way, but it's just this goofy, I guess that's the idea of what these people think video games are.
Right.
Like, oh, here is the thing that shows. Yeah.
It's also like Stephen Knight is a very talented writer.
Yeah.
He's made some very good stuff. I mean, he did Locke, which we talked about. He was in charge of Taboo, which was that Tom Hardy TV show. Peaky Blinders, The Girl in the Spider's Web, which, I mean, didn't do great, but I think
that's
it
that
was
new one.
That's the new one. He wrote
that. Was serviceable. Yeah. I was entertained. Yeah.
He did Burnt, which was that. Bradley Cooper, like where he's the chef.
Okay.
Which was fine.
That got good.
Yeah.
Good buzz.
And Locke Redemption, which is a kind of an underrated, Jason Statham movie.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. But it, like, so he wrote Eastern Promises.
Oh, well, that's a random connection.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Eastern Promises is the one with...
With Viggo Mortensen in the small town?
No, that's History of Violence.
The one where he works for the Russian mob.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good.
Cronenberg directed that too, huh? And I think he directed History of Violence.
I think so.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So different one, but that's funny that I mentioned both those movies.
He wrote Eastern Promises. So he has this meeting and the guy's like, I am the rules. And McConaughey's like, what? What'd you just say? He's like, Those are the rules. And this McConaughey's going to cut his throat. And he just kind of says, this is where we get the explanation.
Because he knows everything about him.
Right.
And he's like, how do you know this?
Right.
And so then this is where
he tells him.
Spills.
He's like, I shouldn't drink. Here's everything you need to know. in the last 20 minutes of this movie. So McConaughey freaks out. He tries to wake up before 5 a.m. and his body can't get out of the bed because that's what time he's programmed to get out of bed. So he's going around the town and he has the interaction with the gal at like the drugstore where she's, you know, he's like, it's funny how everybody knows everything, but nobody knows anything. He's like, where is this place? Because he's looking at a map in his room. And he's like, there's nothing around.
Yeah,
Plymouth
when you
Island.
See the map, like it's just the island.
And like
and
he gets
space.
A bigger, he gets a bigger map, and the like it's, Plymouth Island yeah. is smaller. So everybody's just kind of like they're going through their NPCs. Basically.
So at this point, though, when he talks to the guy, we've seen now like the kid in his room with the computer with
right.
the clear screen, so you can see the code, and then
right.
you hear the parents in the background fighting.
Right, and you just assume that it's a flashback to. What it's the flashback to the parents fighting and the kid dissociating with.
But do we know at this point the reveal?
I know now.
Yeah,
like
okay.
once the suit guy
yeah.
explains,
so we
it,
know
now
he's programming,
know. He's
all
programming
okay,
everything.
Got it.
So yeah, he's going to all these different characters and everything's being explained. But now the computer is starting. Like so, McConaughey is he is like.
Oh, and the other thing we should mention is Digimon Hinsu's character. Keeps like hinting at like you're not a killer, you don't do this. And then when we get to the salesman guy, I think he's like, that's not in the programming to kill.
It's
like,
not part of the game.
Yeah, it's, like it's not you can't because this isn't a game where you do that.
Right. But it's also like this is where it's just kind of like
this is where I'm like I don't
what?
Get because it's like the kid has changed the game. So if the
it's
kid
his
is
game,
the kid has changed the game, and then you can do that.
Yeah.
Right. And there's no longer any moral dilemma about killing the guy.
Well,
because it's just a video game.
Well,
who cares?
But also, they make it. They do that twofold, right? Like they make him a complete scumbag,
right?
Who's yeah. willing to rape a 10-year-old child?
Yeah.
It's like, what? Where's the moral dilemma in killing this guy?
Yeah.
And then they double down on it, where it's like, no, it's a game, so it really doesn't matter,
right? Like, so there's no
this
longer
is supposed to blow your mind because this is an abused kid who's using this as an outlet for his real
yeah.
life. Like, that's all that they're doing.
But there's no longer any drama in whether or not he'll kill
no,
the guy because
it's
a video game character.
Right.
Who cares?
No, you've lost the entire point of the thing.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to be saved by the fact that this is a kid. Dealing with his
and that's where the cat comes back in. They
okay.
they make a reference to this game has other games within it, and so there's catch
oh,
the fish.
Oh,
there's
oh,
catch the
catch
cat.
The cat.
That's an actual
it's like
literal
a, yeah.
game.
It's a little.
Yes. I thought that it was like just the game that they play.
Yeah,
I didn't take it as that's a game.
And so my
game.
Guess is
okay.
if you catch the cat, you get rewarded with
sex and money,
booty, sexy times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because yeah.
the cat goes like there's. There's a storm, or they're like sailing off to actually go kill the guy. And
well,
I think the cat's like on the dock.
Yeah.
And
so what
I'm
happens
like, what?
Is all of these characters start saying, don't kill him.
Yeah.
Like that's not who you are. You're a good man. Don't kill
yeah.
him. And then Anne Hathaway kind of comes on his boat and
they
like, I'll give you 10 million. Also, okay. He is hero worshiping his father.
Yeah.
And then like totally
like making like, slash fiction about
yeah.
his parents.
I can even deal with that. It's
Kenya,
not good.
That's pretty
Kenya.
Questionable.
It's pretty,
yeah, I'm like,
super
why would you program that?
But then he makes his dad into a complete asshole.
Can you imagine a version of yourself where you would
no.
sit there and program
Hell
a video
no.
game
no.
that revolved around your parents doing it?
No.
In that detail?
No.
In graphic Hell detail?
No.
But then, like, he...
What if your mom looked like Anne Hathaway? See?
Nope.
Exactly. She's still your mom.
Yeah.
It'd be gross.
Oh, I was thinking the other
but
one.
But after they have sex, then he's like, I win. I won the game. Because
right,
he's like, you're his
but they, but
woman.
They, but
and,
they, but he gives like four thrusts, and then he walks away. And he's
well,
because like,
it's written by a 14-year-old.
That's right. but
that's
I mean, like,
twice as many as he would have
But he's
it.
Saying, like, you're his woman now, but I got you back, so I win the game.
Well, he's like, I made you. Well, so I'm thinking it's like, I made you cheat. I'm better than him. Like, I broke you just like you
oh,
broke
no,
me.
Oh, no, I didn't take it.
That's
that
how
way.
I took it.
Did you take I just took it as, like, I had sex with his woman, so now I win because you, even though you're with him, like, you came back to me.
Yeah.
So I win. Kind
of, oh.
But
oh,
I mean,
like,
he
I guess
wasn't
could,
demeaning her character. For
that's
cheating.
What I thought it was.
It was never about her. It was
yeah.
about the other guy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So.
But I guess it's also literally he won a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah that was
I mean?
A game. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, and then he's like, fine, I'll do it. And I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the kid.
Yeah.
Have him on this boat tomorrow morning at noon, and we'll square this up. Yeah. So he's getting ready to go, and then
he go back with Diane Lane? Who is it that he's like, I gotta go because it's 10, and then or is there someone? And,
oh, it's the kid. It's Diane Lane's kid.
Oh, okay, because it's like but he goes, the tide doesn't go out till noon. I've looked up all the time, so you're not.
Oh.
I thought it was Diane Lane.
It could have been, I guess. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
No. So, like, Diane Lane's quote-unquote kid shows
earlier
up.
In the movie, when they're first time they hook up, she's like, my son needs a job. He's good at whatever.
You said he was good luck or whatever, and that he brushes it off, and now here he is.
When he shows up as he's...
Well, at this point, we've already kind of established that this is a game.
Yeah.
So this, like, new character pops up.
But he's
like,
driving through the cornfields.
Also,
rapid.
Why is he driving on the opposite side of the car?
Well, I'm guessing in, like, this island is set. I mean, different parts of the country.
Oh,
they drive on the other
side. True, yeah.
So this is in one.
So
we
have these two Americans that are just established. Of course, it's a video game.
Yeah.
We get it.
But so he's driving like 100 miles an hour through these fields, and all of a sudden walks out this doofy little kid.
Yeah, this
like,
goofball
hey
of a
there,
kid.
Sir.
Yeah. You remember me. I'm Constance's boy.
Yeah, he's like the e-boy from Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah. He just pops up, and he's like, howdy, howdy.
Yeah.
A lot of these islands are like, some were founded by the French, some were founded by the British. So, like, some you drive on the right side, some you drive on the left.
Which is fine. I was just like,
he's a genius, Joe. He's not just a normal 14-year-old. He knows what side the cars would
go. Sure, we'll go with that.
But, yeah, like, when you go, like, sometimes the islands can even be side by side. It just happens to be.
Huh.
Like, when we went to St. John, they drove on the left side of the road, but St. Thomas, they drove on the right, and they were, like, pretty close together.
Oh, really?
Is that what Crystal calls you?
What's
St. Thomas?
Yeah.
Instead of daddy.
Yeah. but yeah, and this one is filmed in a, because I was trying to figure out where it was the whole time I was watching the movie, and this is filmed in, I don't know if I'm saying, I think it's pronounced Maurice, but it's like Mauritius, and it's like off the southeastern coast of Africa.
All right.
It was not founded because there were people there, but like, from a Western standpoint, it was a French territory, and then I believe the British took it over.
Okay,
but they had probably already kind of ingrained that you drive on the left.
Huh.
So
all right. Whatever.
So he's going to go out and he's going to kill. He's decided he's going to kill Jason Clark. But now you've got
First you've got Jason Clark's been beat up. Like,
he gets
all beat up or
Digimon
whatever.
Digimon Hinsu took his $2,000 and paid
some dude to beat the bejesus out of him.
Okay.
So we can't.
Side mission, I guess.
Well, no, I think.
So the characters in the game are having side missions?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm guessing this, like, it's like, okay, so here's a side quest type of thing, and he got beat up.
Right, so now Anne Hathaway is, like, pumping him, you know, gets him all bandaged up. She's like, I'm killing this sumbitch. Like,
yeah, she's like, you're getting on this boat. Right.
This isn't going to look suspicious in the investigation.
No, not at all.
Well, I guess, though, I mean,
there's no police.
One, it's a video game.
Well, no. In that world,
two, they talk about how there's no law on this island. But also, if he were to fall off the boat, there's no body to even investigate.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. Like, he gets on the boat. He's all, you know, he's pilled out of his head. He's drunk. And they catch the, like, so Matthew McConaughey has a choice. So while McConaughey has a choice, the kid has a choice in real life. So we're getting these two stories side by side, flashing back and forth. Rather than...
So is the tuna supposed to symbolize killing your abusive stepfather?
So the options are, you kill the stepfather in the game, you kill him in real life, or you just catch the fish and you let the stepfather live.
But I just, what was the brilliant reasoning of him trying to catch that fish? What does that symbolize?
The fish was called justice. Yeah, because that was the other thing that kind of, like, I was like, oh, this kid's writing it. Because, like, if you look around his room, a lot of the elements you see on the island are in his room.
Yeah.
So you got, he had like a lighthouse.
Right.
And the coffee mug that said World's Greatest Dad.
I saw him drinking out of that.
And he had a sign on his wall that said justice. But
if you catch the fish, you get justice. So that's supposed to symbolize killing. I don't know.
I thought that, like, you have two choices. You can kill the dad and go from there, or you can not kill the dad and not murder somebody and catch the fish.
But see what I mean? But so my point is that,
and McConaughey did
both.
But
if you catch the fish, you get justice. So that's not really a choice in this. You know what I mean? Because you would think that getting justice would be get the fish and go kill the stepdad.
Either way, McConaughey it's hooks sloppy. Up. Yeah, he hooks up the fish, and then he gives it to Jason Clarke, and Jason Clarke is pulled overboard.
Yeah.
And dies. In the real world.
Okay, so I guess Jason Clarke got justice.
Right. Right. Or justice got him.
Well, yeah. I mean, right. Yeah.
In the real world, the kid takes a knife and goes and kills his stepdad.
Right.
So, you know, the McConaughey gets the money. He basically tells Anne Hathaway to piss off, and she leaves, and life continues on this.
This is also one of those morally ambiguous things, though, because I'm like, who are we rooting for here? Like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean, though? But it's like, okay, like, yeah, he went and murdered someone. Like, are you trying to say, like, that's okay? Because at the end, he's like, sometimes good people do bad things. So,
because he's telling his son who just killed a man.
Yeah.
You know, which, right. I mean, he killed a guy who was beating up his stepmom and him. You know,
yeah.
So like he had to do something bad to protect his mom and himself.
Yeah.
Like I get. Okay. So
I feel like the whole self-defense thing was really not a.
Oh, I think that it was. I was okay with the self-defense thing in the real world because he was beating the bejesus out of his mother and him. Like there's a scene where the kid's got a busted face.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard the argument and I know the black guy was earlier. What I mean is like when he killed him, I feel like the news made it out to be because the mom's like, yes, it was in self-defense. Like I think that they kind of covered it up. Like that guy had it coming to him. But I think when he went and just killed the guy, necessarily a self-defense moment.
Sure.
It all like lined up and that's how he gets away.
Right.
With it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So McConaughey, everything is okay. And he goes to the phone, this payphone's ringing and he talks to his son.
Now he can talk to this artificial intelligence that has sentience.
That he has no idea what his real personality. I mean, he's made the perfect father.
Yeah.
Like he has no idea what his personality was before. He has no clue.
Right.
Of what kind of a person he was. So the kid rearranges the game.
I've changed the island.
I've changed the game and then they embrace.
And then you get this floating triangle.
Oh, so weird.
This got very like what was that? Transcendence? Was that the bad Johnny Depp movie?
Yes,
is that the?
Yes.
This got very weird. So yeah, the whole thing's going around. The music's ramping up, and it's like, oh my god, we're so touched by all of this.
No, we aren't.
No.
And then the kid shows up in the game,
especially because it's so nonsensical.
Right.
Like,
right.
What are we?
And that's how it ends. It was not good.
No.
It was bananas. It was
bonkers.
Yeah.
The fact that the whole reveal is taking place in a computer game is just like, when the movie started, I never in a million years would have expected that's what movie I'm watching. Like,
no.
The fact that they throw that on you, and again, I don't know how it's marketed, but judging on the reaction of the old people in the theater, they were also not expecting a computer simulation.
No.
They were just, once that came out, you could just hear the groans around and the questions being asked, like, seriously. And then when they left the movie, they're just like, that is not what I wanted.
That's not what anybody wanted.
I agree.
Wow. Lennon and McCartney, when they used to write songs, they would show up in the studio and with song fragments.
Sure.
And then sometimes if they couldn't, you know, flesh them out into full-length songs, they would just kind of assemble those fragments, right? And like A Day in the Life is song fragments that they couldn't turn into full songs, and that's why it has those dramatic changes, right?
Right.
And
like Band on the Run?
Well, Band on the Run is not a Beatles song.
I know.
But I mean, it does that, yeah.
But like, one song.
I do think McCartney, if you listen to some of his songs, I think he kept that up, but just not with a co-writer. Like, I think, you know, that...
It couldn't fit.
Right, like Admiral Palsy does the same thing, does a lot of changes, like what's got like three different hooks in it, but they're each like, you know, 30 seconds long or something, you know. Yeah. But that's what this movie feels like to me, except it's not a Beatles song by any measure.
Or even a Wings song.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not even a Ringo song.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But
is it a Pete Best song?
It's like it's got two. It's like two different movies.
I think it's three movies
that they kind of like crammed together and thought that would make sense, and
it didn't.
And it's like they deliberately wrote the first half to be kind of dumb,
thinking
that the reveal would retcon that into being smart, and
nope,
and it didn't.
Nope. This is M. Night Shyamalan light.
Yeah, this is not good.
This is, I mean, clearly the studio knew they had a flop on their hands. Mm. This isn't we're putting in January because nothing else is out, but this is really good. Like, it's in January for the traditional January reasons.
Right.
Is not good.
Because I do feel like we're getting better and better movies in January.
We are.
This is definitely
they're getting smart finding slots that are where there is nothing but.
I think like The Upside is a movie that would have gotten lost in December, but in January, as you see, is it's finding an audience. And but this is just a good old fashioned January
cluster.
Dumping of a movie.
Yeah.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, you're welcome, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did that for you.
So, well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or our Patreon account at patreon.com/real spoilers. You throw in like $5 a month, you get some bonus content, and you help us out with the costs that go into something like this. So, and like I said before, we like you a little extra. So there you go. I guess that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Esther is 33 years old.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. No place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.